My name is Julie, and I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm a grateful member. I'm so grateful to be able to introduce myself in this way. That might sound a little bit ironic, but when you're asked to tell what it was like, horrible. What happened? Life-changing. And where I am, I'm grateful that there's a solution for a wretch like me. Praise God for that, because this is not a religious program, but it does say that I can have a God of my understanding, and my God is Christ. That's just my stuff. We can have Allah, we can have a Quran, we can have Jews, Gentiles, white, black, Mexican, the LGBTQ, everything, y'all. But first of all, I'm an alcoholic that's in the process of this recovery, and I'm grateful for that. I have to tell you guys about that part. I know I'm here to tell you what it was like in Julie, but I don't got it twisted. I'm not confused that you came here to see what Julie's up to, only if it relates to what has to do with this book. This is my stuff. This is my book. You can't tell until I open it, but it does say Alcoholics Anonymous. This is my first book. This does have my Twelve Steps. It does have my dictionaries in the back. They have their own dictionaries, you guys. They have their own stuff. I have my own stuff. And I just need to say that to you guys, because it ain't about what I can tell you about how I used and what I did, because I've been around here by the grace of a loving God since May the 2nd, 2002. And I'm 22 years old, and I'm pretty in pink. And I'm excited about that. I was trying to be all calm, and I'm trying to do this right, but I have to tell you I'm excited. And I'm honored that somebody tapped me. Thank you, John. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, the South Bay Pioneers. It felt like a lasso going out and just whipping me up and saying, you will do this. I'm not the speaker, you guys. I'm not the one proficient up here and all this stuff. I don't have things memorized. I don't have a script. I just have what happened to me. And I'm grateful where I am right now. I brought the book up because it's my comfort blanket. It is a reference book. Everything that goes on everywhere, I can find it in here. It's battered and it's bruised, just like I was. When I sit down with my sponsees, when I sit down with folks, they see me bring out this thing. Because that's what I know. If I'm going to talk about it, I need to bring out where it is I got this stuff from, because it didn't come from me. It came from folks back in 1935. They sat down and they brought this book out in about 1939. And Bill Story, he sat down in the kitchen and he talked to a friend. I just want to sit down and chat with you for a moment and tell you what happened to me. He walked through them steps. I hit that first step, that powerless. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life became unmanageable in 2002. I went through a process of beating up, and I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, because I was insane, you guys. Anytime that you're, what they call that, pissy drunk, when you go to work and you stand there and you rush to the store at lunchtime and you get a quart of Old English, you get a quart of whatever that may be. Whatever that money will allow me to have. And you drink it down real fast, not because I'm trying to have a little tete-a-tete. Not because I got my pinky out. I'm trying to get an effect. I'm trying to get an effect. And then as an electrician, I sit there on my bench and I'm trying to work, and I'd have drank it so fast and so quick until the pee-pee come. Pee-pee is coming. Pee-pee is coming, you guys. And I rush down the stairs to the bathroom, and I just barely make it. And y'all might know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But the demoralizing, the awful part, the insanity of the whole act itself. But I get in front of the dryer. And I dry this piss off, you guys, so I can get back on the floor. Sorry about that, day. Quite the sight. I forgot there was somebody behind me. I got caught in the moment. I know we did the Jerry, like Jerry Springer show. This isn't the gong show. I hope you guys don't gong, because I could go sit down, but I'm really sorry. But that's my story. And then it went further, because after I dried myself, I got to go sit on this round stool, you know, almost like a bar stool at the bench. And I swear, you guys, the sweat, the plastic, was making me think there was a smell emanating up. And it probably was, you guys. I mean, you know, I actually bathed at this point. I did some things. You know, that's why the book talks about lows and highs at curb, because everybody wasn't walking around with a brown bag. Some of us had a little bit of a house. Some of us had a little piece of a job. Some of us want to use that word, functioning alcoholic. I don't know what part of functioning is, but I just know either you're pregnant or you're not. You're either alcoholic or you're not. I don't know about all these gray areas that people create when they're saying things. I just know what I was. And in the book, it talks about a real alcoholic. And I think I hit all the check marks of the real alcoholic. I know I hit all the check marks in the other fellowship, too. And I'm going to respect the space and not talk about that. But I know in the 22 years that I've been here, you guys, I have yet to hear a drug that I did not ingest. From the shooting to the snorting to the pills to the this to the that, you guys. When I say came to believe a power, it had to take beyond human power, it tells me, and I proved it. I had to have a spiritual power. I had to have a God power to make a decision, a breaking point, to turn my will and my life over to the care and understanding of him, of my God. That's my stuff. I made a decision. I had to make a decision. I was already in the steps and I didn't even know it. I didn't even have any idea. When I ended up down on Landis Street, and there's this drunk tank down there, and I had thought I was doing something, went down on the corner, got something called a boy and a girl. They call it a speedball. And I went out in an abandoned house, and the folks called, and the ambulance and the people came. They say, she's just drunk. And they took me down to the drunk place, they had mattresses all on the whole floor, and you had to sleep it off. You had to act like you had it, act good sense, act right to get out. You had to get, act right. And I stumbled around, and I finally figured out where I was. But they didn't know what the truth was. And in my inebriated, crazy self, I was actually in step four. Because I had to call my stepdad that was supposed to be watching my kid just momentarily while I take care of some legitimate business. Legitimate. For me, it was legitimate. I don't know about you guys, but I was serious about my stuff. And it was... It was legitimate to me. And I'm smiling only because I'm on the other side, you guys. I'm grateful. But he had to come down there and pick me up. And I had to tell him that inventory, that fearless moral inventory, the exact nature of my wrongs. That I ain't drunk, Dad. I OD'd. I nearly died. I need some help. What should I do? And he was my sponsor. He was my father. He was supportive. We went to the family home. I looked in the phone book for help. I found a treatment program, a recovery program. It was called a behavioral modification program. It wasn't called a drug program, you guys. It was called a behavioral modification program. Welcome, Jeff, Jason, where that? Jacob. Welcome to a new way of life. Congratulations to the birthdays and the token takers. This is that modification program. This is that life-changing metamorphosis where we move from a caterpillar to a butterfly, soaring like an eagle. With the wings of infinity, you guys, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit, one day at a time. And I found this place in this phone book. And I called him up, and he took me down there. He took me upstairs to some intake. They talked to me. They said, we're going to put you on a waiting list. I said, this thing ain't waiting for me. Do you realize I just died? I can't wait. If you send me out of here, I'm going to die. Please, please help me. I am really in step one. I am powerless. My life is unmanageable. I'm begging for help. And she said, hold on. You got somebody in there insane and going like that. They, hold on. And they went and talked to the director. And they went and did this and they went and did that. And I sat there and I prayed and I thought and them prayers that, please let me come down or please let me this or that. I was like, please let me in this place. Please let me in this place. And they told me, okay, we got a bed for you. And my dad, my stepdad, that's my dad, 43 years, that was my dad. Went to the family home of 43 years. He went in the garage, he got this bed, it like fold like this. It was a metal bed with a little bar across the top. And he rolled that bed into the bedroom of my mom and dad. And he put that bed there. My mom was out of town in Chicago, praise God. She didn't have to walk through and see all that stuff. And she got my little son that was almost not quite 5 years old. He did. And he said, don't you worry about it. And he went back to that place and he played that service fee for me. And I stayed there. And I stayed there. And what I want you guys to know and what I really need you to understand is that this is but a first step. Recovery homes do not fail. We fail when we don't take it to the next step. Because what I'm talking about is in 88. And when my recovery date is in 2002, I did that thing. And I walked that walk, and I wore that pretty dress, and I had that graduation, and I thought I was doing something, and I went right back to the same people, places, and things. I wasn't in a program of recovery. I was just checking in and checking out, thinking I'd fixed something, I'd cured something, I'd done something. And I hadn't. I'd arrested it. The book calls it a dry drunk. The book talks about, you know, just that abstinence and pause. And I stayed in good. I stayed an alumni. And when life got crazy again, I checked in. And I checked out again. And I put some time together. But I was just going in and out, and I didn't realize, you guys, I didn't know that there was more to this thing. And when I went back, because I had a mustard seed of hope in that place, that brick and mortar place, just the way that Ray came back, the gentleman's name, I may be saying it wrong, but to show you, there is hope. When he checked in and he checked out 25 years later, he's still doing the thing. I went back there because I believed in something was happening. Something was going on. And when I was there that third time, one of the residents said, they have these meetings, you know. They got something more than this, you know. Dumb bitch, excuse me. You know, yeah, duh. And I didn't know no better. I was doing the best that I knew how and what I knew how to do. I'm checking in and out of there. I don't know. I'm Miss Alumni. I got a job. I got a this. I got a that. And I didn't know I was missing the most important piece ever, the book, the program. I was on a stepping stone. I was just at the precipice of. I was so close, you guys. But I wasn't quite there. And the woman told me, she said, we're going to write a note to the director. We're going to ask him, this is how you do it. I learned structure the very first time right there. You have to write who, what, where, when, why, and sometimes how. Where are you going? What time you going? What's this thing? What, who, what, where, when, why, and how? And I wrote this note to the director, and they allowed me to go to this clean women's meeting. And my life began to change. I began to understand that it was before the alcohol and drugs that I was not okay. They were a secondary thing. They were a secondary thing, you guys, because I'm one of eight children, second youngest. My mother was married three times. Three fathers. My father happened to be the father that went to jail for murder. Second youngest, I was stigmatized in my own mind and my own self because why my dad gotta be the murderer guy? Why my dad gotta be this guy? I don't know what my other brothers and sisters, because they were older than me, what their dads were like, the divorce, mom's life before, but I just know what mine was. I know inside myself, I didn't feel light enough. I didn't have enough hair. I had knocked knees, just different things that we go through and I ain't enough. And that didn't help. I know that when my mother married what was the sailor guy that took me down to the program, they had the child. I said I was second youngest, and I still didn't feel like I fit. Five boys, three girls. My one sister passed when I was eight. I didn't have a lot of relationship with that. My other sister, 10 years older than me, I didn't have a lot of relationship with that because I was too young to hang out with her, that 10-year difference. So the five boys, it appeared to me, you love them. They get to go do stuff. They're making go-karts. They're making camps in the canyons. They're making clubhouses. They're riding go-karts. You know, they're doing shit, excuse me, stuff. And I'm like, and I get to wear these penny loafers, and they used to call them with the white socks, and they called them Mary Janes. And little ruffled dresses. And I'm like, and you can't go outside. I go outside immediately playing with the boys, getting in the bushes and all this stuff. And Julie, I just straightened you up. What are you doing? And that translated to me that I'm the bad kid because I'm already thinking about the dad thing and I don't fit right. So that compounded. And I can tell you guys, my perception became my reality. My mother doesn't love me as much as she loves the boys. Well, maybe I just need to be a freaking boy. So then I went the tomboy route. I went through some experiences that somebody in this room may be touched by or understand with the what's going on with the gender neutral, binary, LGBTQ, all that stuff. I went through all kinds of things in this psychological thing, and the reason I'm sharing this with you guys is because it was before I picked up a drink. The drink made me feel comfortable in my skin with all that stuff. When I went up on the high ground up on Morris and they initiated me, good kid, smart kid, you know, doing pretty good with grades and stuff. And we had TJ Swan wine. We had Old English. We had something called Shake 'em Up, which is Thunderbird with yellow Kool-Aid. Yellow Kool-Aid in it. And they made this big mess, and they called it Dragon's Blood. And I'm serious, it was about Dragon's Blood. And I was like, oh, I like this. I'm freaking oblivious, but, you know, I like this because, like I said, it wasn't about teetotaling or anything. It was about an effect. It was about trying to escape from my own mind and my own set. And like I said, when he took me to that recovery home, and I actually opened up as to where I was, and I'm not saying it was a dud, but I have to go back to that because I just love the South Bay Pioneers because you guys have that facility back there. You work with people in transitional. People need to understand that it's not enough, and they never, ever failed me. I'm still really good with the director over there. As I was popping in and out, these brothers that I'm talking about, one of them came down from Los Angeles. Can I stay with you? I said, no, but I know where you can. And I took him there. And I paid his service fee. That's how we pay it forward. That's how we each one teach one. And when I went back out, he's still okay. He has 27 years of sobriety, you guys. That's in a family. That's a brother and sister. That's not the common thing. I have a brother that saw what we were doing. He went through the Veterans Administration to do what he's doing with almost 10 years. Now he's got an idea. It's his idea. I wouldn't dare try it, and I hope none of you do. He think he can drink. He think he can drink because I ain't doing crack. I said, you'll be doing crack soon, but that's just my opinion. You're going to be smoking. Full hitter quitter is coming. Your eyes are going to pop out. Look, I remember what they look like. But I'm just telling you guys that the recovery homes, they never failed me. This program never failed me. Today I can. Today I can say that I love me. Today that I can say that I am proud of me. Today I can say that I'm totally in acceptance of the God of my understanding of what he created in me. I thank God for all of you leading the way for me. You're going to be okay, Laura. You're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Ernest is going to be okay. Robert's going to be okay. P.O. Barb's going to be okay. Nadine, Tony, Miss Mary. Miss Mary sitting here leading us with 49 and some months. I know it's going to be okay, and that's what this is about. A place of hope, a place of belief. If we just do it one day at a time. I remember when I sat down with my sponsor and working these steps, and I told you about my fourth step of real life and telling my stepfather, but my step through this book and through this process, and I had 27 pages in my columns and stuff, and I'm telling her the exact nature of what went on with me. I'm not going to give you guys a drunkalogue and how I went and lived in 30-some states, how I left on New Year's Eve in a Bonneville with my second child that was only a few months old. How when I passed through Denver and Zale Pass and they said, what the are you guys doing? You have no snow change, you have nothing. We went to the doctors, we got these pills, we're gonna sell pills across the United States, you know. I mean, just insane. That's why I say restore me to sanity. I don't have to tell you guys about that. I don't have to tell you guys about being in shooting galleries in New York and people blowing up with their, you know, the hit in the neck. You know, I have to tell you about drinking this, that, or the other in this, that, or the other place. I didn't look like this. I didn't look pretty and pink. I do now. But I didn't then. I really didn't then. And I'm so grateful that I don't look like I did. We shouldn't look like we did. When I went to telling her about that, with that 27 pages, and we went through those 27 pages, and she looked at me, and she said some things that I'm not going to share, but they were meant for me. But what they did for me, I'll tell you what they did for me, not exactly what she said. They made me feel light. They made me feel like a weight came off. They made me feel whole, like it wasn't shocking as I thought in this big secrets that I had. Now I can even tell you guys up here, strangers but my brothers and sisters. Strangers but my family. You're my family. You keep me whole. You made me who I am today. And I am grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful to have a family like you. Stand up, people. Doing the thing. We say, oh, geez. We talk about, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage in this room to change the things I can is huge. Each and every one of your personal stories, your personal, you're given a verbal biography. It takes courage to stand here. I remember Kim said, you're not nervous, are you? Like, what the hell? Of course I am. Every time I talk to John, I was trying to say, you don't need me, do you? You sure? You know, I can bow out. And when I told her that, and moving on to humbly ready to ask God, to remove all these defects of character. My creator, I'm not willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you remove every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength to do your will and not my own. Step aside. This isn't Julie here, because this is the last place that Julie would want to be. This is God. This is a spiritual program. To go back and say I'm sorry in step 9 and make amends to people that I harm. To pay back financial institutions that I robbed or I borrowed from you. Come on now, man. And I act like it's a gift. I gave you something, you're supposed to pay it back, Jules. And I act like, what are you asking me for money for? I had to say, that's insane. That's almost like having my house payment, my mortgage that I have now, and saying, why should I pay you? That's insane. We have a contract. We have things that we put our word, our bond up to. And I had to learn what my integrity, character, moral compass was again in that step 9. And make amends and look them in the face. Only when it don't harm them. And say I'm sorry. And move through that step 10 and every day, be the woman in the mirror and reflect. Did you do better today than yesterday? Try to, Jules. At least try. Did you harm someone? Can I get closer to God? My conscious contact with a God of my understanding. And having had a spiritual awakening. This is a spiritual program, you guys, step 12. That's why I'm here. Kicking and screaming. You know it. Y'all, they know it. Robert, they asked me to speak out now how many times. I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to be saying, but I'm saying it, all right, and the clock is ticking, so I ain't been gonged yet. But God, I'm trying right here, you guys. But there's a result. That means because of. After it's all said and done. As a result of these steps, that means you got to do them. And you got to do them first. Can't be out there just going to meetings and telling everybody this and that and the other. You can do that, and you need to share. But you need to go to school and know what you're saying when you're sharing. And as a result of these steps, to carry this message to those that are still suffering, I cannot carry something that I don't know nothing about. Book studies. AA comes of age. Conferences. Sponsorship. Sponsor of a sponsor of a sponsor. I've had to say goodbye to two sponsors because of cancer. And I had to get up and say, I gotta stay in this race. I gotta have a tutor. I can't just be going around here thinking I'm gonna be sponsoring myself. We'll see how that works out. I don't wanna know. I don't wanna know. But I did have to. And I haven't gone around too many. God has presented the one to me. She actually left the state to pursue her own recovery. And she handed me off to my grand sponsor. My grand sponsor passed. And my sponsor of her took over. So my lineage is there. My lineage is there. My sponsor wasn't able to make it tonight because she's a woman of integrity and had a prior engagement. And I respect that because she's teaching me and not being here with me, knowing the magnitude of what I was doing. You can hear it in my voice. I sound ridiculous. But anyway, that's where you have to push the words out because it's difficult. I'm grateful. To be here, I want to read something that ties into what I just said. We usually get into the first 164 pages. There's parts before that, like the doctor's opinion, where they got the letter. And they just wanted a letter with weight, depth, and value to say, hey, these people are onto something. We can't help you. But they got something, and they can. You ought to check it out. Like I talked about Bill in the kitchen, and we just having a chat right here, talking about what happened. There's more to the book than 164 pages. You know, Dr. Bob's Nightmare, the other bookend of the two people that brought about this program, is worth reading up to page 181. And then the personal stories, they talk about the first members, they talk about the second members, they talk about when black people came in, they talk about when LGBTQ people came in. They talk about when the wives came in. They talk about different circumstances. Each story is trying to tell us a different circumstance so we can relate, so we can identify and know we are not alone in this. Our story is not unique. It also talks about a needs. If you need outside help, I work with ladies where I have to ask them, can you hear me right now? Because they hear voices. Nobody can do and take in anything until you stabilize where you are. A hungry man can't hear you. Feed him. A mental health patient can't hear you. Get him some medicine. The book says we can use outside help. And I need to be an acceptance of exactly where I am at exactly that moment. At exactly that time. So I'm going to go past the 164 pages. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. A lot of people stop there. And they feel like that's all there is. And I'm telling you, there's more. Oh boy, is there more. It says, and accepting is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing in God's world is by mistake. Until I can accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as to what needs to be changed in me, 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 and my attitudes. And that's where I sit. I need to stop worrying about what the heck you're doing. Because if I do what I'm supposed to be doing, cause and effect, response, people will respond to me differently. They respond to me differently now. And I can change them as I change me. I ain't what I'm gonna be. But thank God, I ain't what I used to be. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And as I started off, I'm proud that I picked up myself in the best that I know how. I have a long way to go, but I can't acknowledge, and it ain't ego and arrogance, it's just reality and observation that I've come a long way. I'm a homeowner, single. I was tripped out, single. I got a nice job. I have respect, though. As a mother, I have a 42-year-old son. He saw a lot of this. My 28-year-old son, as I said, I'm 22. He didn't get to see much. They're resilient. I'm trying to change and incorporate new memories. I have six grandkids that never seen me drunk. Never see me loaded, never see me altered. I go on cruises. I have one coming up in October with some of my sister friends. I know how to plan. I know how to not react. I know how to not be 911-ish. You know, I don't even know if that's a real word, but 911, just always, you know, just panicked out, just freaking out. You know, always was freaking out, you know. I don't have to be that no more, you know. And I just thank God for that, you know. And I do talk about God. That's my stuff. And it says I can have one. It's in there. And I'm trying to say you have to have mine. They have agnostics. They talk about the atheists. We're all inclusive. All inclusive. And that's what it's about. It's about kindness. It's about loving on each other. It's about helping on each other. It's about doing right by each other. It's called principles before personalities. That's what they're talking about as a result of these steps. We should be acting differently. And I just want us to act differently to each other. And I'm going to try to do my part. As I said, I can only do my part for me. And I thank you guys for tolerating me, for being here for me, for allowing me to share my experience. Strength and hope for you, that you get to the space in mind of joy, unspeakable joy that I have inside of me is indescribable as a result of these steps, of these traditions. The third one says the only requirement is to say I'm an alcoholic. So I'm in. I'm a member, and you can be a member of this beautiful thing too. one day at a time. My name is Julie, and I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Julie. That was fantastic. And you brought a great energy to this place. And I love the 911-ish. I'm going to use it tomorrow. Thank you, the cooks tonight, for a wonderful spaghetti dinner. And come back next Saturday night. It's going to be fantastic. Julie, will you, we'll huddle up. And Julie, will you say a prayer for us?
Yeah.
Thank you.